You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, it is Thursday. It's Thursday, like all day. It's Thursday and Boomer's on the board. And I have a question for you, Boomer. Can we just go ahead and declare it Friday?
I wish. I'm ready for this week to be done.
No, it's just Thursday. It's Friday Eve, though. That's what we like to call it, Friday Eve. You're almost there, folks. You made it past hump day. We're getting there. So stay tuned for the long weekend. It's going to be the Labor Day weekend coming up. So, yeah, good on you. All right, listen, we got a great show laid on for you. Good stuff. 3 o'clock today, one of my former colleagues in the state Senate, Alabama State Senator Dick Brubaker, former state Senator Dick Brubaker is going to be on the line with us talking about school choice. Dick formerly chaired the Senate Education Policy Committee, and he's got lots of thoughts on school choice. And so we'll be squaring up with Senator Dick Brubaker at 3. And then at 3:30, it's Thursday. So it may be only Friday Eve, but we still have Boomer and McQueen. That's at 3:30. So yeah, that'll brighten your day. 3:30, Boomer McQueen, stand by for that one. And then I got a triple dipper, so hit it, buddy.
The triple dipper, 3 stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper, 3 stories, 3 themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. So number one, right out the gate, we're going to talk about school choice, latest things that are happening, what's going on around the nation, and where is Alabama in the mix? What are we doing? Are we doing anything? There is talk. Talk's cheap, though. We'll see what happens. We're going to talk about it. Number one on the triple dipper, choosing choice. That's what I've got down, choosing choice. Number two, I call this one responsive leadership. Responsive leadership, like leadership that actually does something. So right now we're watching the dichotomy of what happens when Biden vacations on the beach and says no comment about Maui burning and a thousand people missing, as compared to a massive hurricane that just blew through Florida when making landfall down there in the Florida Panhandle area, and what we watched with Governor Ron DeSantis taking immediate action and how he has laid the law down on potential looters and that kind of stuff. Responsive leadership. We're going to compare and contrast and talk about what it really means to have a leader who is actually engaged and responsive to the issues. And then number three, didn't get to it yesterday, so I still got it on tap for today, shrinkflation. Shrinkflation is like, it's not a rumor. It's real. And it's gotten worse. We've talked about it in the past. Well, I'll tell you who the fast food chain is that keeps shrinking their burgers. Oh, yeah, people are catching on. So, yeah, number three on the triple dipper, shrinkflation. Okay, hey, listen, I got to tell you, as we move towards my comments, the monologue, the Right Side Way monologue every day, sponsored by our friends at Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care, a chain of great clinics all over North Alabama, 5 locations in the Birmingham area, 3 up in Northeast Alabama, Anniston, Gadsden, Natala. This is who I use personally. But Southern Immediate Care is there for you 7 days a week, and they can square you away. Check them out. And we thank them for sponsoring the Right Side Way monologue. All right, let me jump in here. And let me ask you this question. What do you say and how do you respond when someone is confronting you? Like when they're confronting you, say, about yourself or about something you care about. I'm not talking about like a random attack on the street like road rage. I'm talking about someone has chosen to spread a rumor or to bring something to people's attention that may or may not even be true about you or about a thing you care about, and you're confronted with the issue. How do you handle it? Well, I'll be honest, it depends on how much you prepared in advance to handle it. I had a conversation with a politician once. It wasn't so long ago. It was an off-the-record discussion. If I said the person's name, you would know who they were, but I won't do that. What I will say is this. That person, the politician, called me to make sure that I heard from them the certain things being said about them just aren't true. Okay, it's one thing to call me on the phone, but why are you doing that? Well, they were hoping I would communicate it for them. I mean, it was nothing that I had said, mind you, just stuff that was out there in the public arena. Okay, I On the one hand, I get it. I understand firsthand what it means to have things said about you that you don't believe have any merit, or were said unfairly or out of context, or just plain old lies. But as we talked, this politician and I encouraged that person to come on the show and just talk it through, tell the world, square up on it. But then I told the politician something that I was also told myself during my campaigns about the old rule that if you spend time chasing down everything others are saying about you, that all you're doing at some point is just dancing to their tune. It's a natural inclination. We want to set the record straight. We don't want them to get away with that. Sometimes, to be honest, though, even though I gave them that advice, the record does, in fact, have to be set straight, especially if it's impacting your life or your family or your business. But at some point, you also have to have, though, the confidence of your position. This person was calling me saying, would you go say these things about me? No, you come say them about you. You see, you got to have the confidence of your position, the intrinsic value of knowing that upon which you stand. You got to have the ability to face your accusers on the battlefield of your own choosing. Now, some would call that confidence. Some would call it courage. I'm going to call it something new. Call it bulletproof influence. Go ahead and write it down, y'all. You heard it here first. I've coined a new phrase. I call it bulletproof influence. So what does that even mean? I mean, where does that come from? Well, some years ago when I was younger and more mobile, I went through what is known as reflexive fire training. Reflexive fire training. It's one thing to learn in the military how to take careful aim and shoot a stationary target that's downrange, right? It's quite another, though, when you realize that most combat operations, especially in urban environments, are conducted at close quarters. Reflexive fire training involved moving and firing, spinning from the left to the right and firing, and all at close quarters. But reflexive fire also involves some very basic and key body positions, one of which was you square off to your target. Why? I mean, it's natural when you're being shot at to want to give a slim profile in a gunfight, right? But a soldier's body armor actually carries its ballistic plate squarely in the front and the back to protect the vital organs. So using reflexive fire techniques means facing the enemy head on, knowing that by doing so, you are now more bulletproof. And from that position, you find, fix, and address your target. So bring that back to my point. When someone has bulletproof influence, they are confident, and they're willing then to square off to the opposition. They have confidence in their position. Bulletproof influence is the ability to speak to an issue or act on a position or direct other people from that well-earned position of being so right that it's more than a thought, it's a conviction. Bulletproof influence is a conviction matched by a deep and intentional understanding of not just the what, but the why. You've studied it. You're confident in your position. You're willing to take a stand. But then it goes one step further. Bulletproof influence can only happen, y'all, if you consider who it is you're hoping to influence and how best to convey it. I mean, I've known a lot of people who were well-intentioned, had strong beliefs, and they had no ability to message those beliefs at all. They never, ever took the time to consider how best to express it. I mean, think about this. The Apostle Paul, he said, I've become all things to all people that I might win some all the more. He wasn't saying that he was a chameleon changing his opinions to fit which way the wind was blowing. What he was saying was, I have a conviction. And I've got to tailor my presentation to the people that I'm talking to so they can better understand it. Bulletproof influence. It also goes beyond your convictions. It comes directly from your own level of confidence. I mean, how much do you believe in yourself? How much of what you believe is based on your own life experiences? Because keep in mind, and this is an important part, y'all, your personal story, your experiences, your testimony, if you will, that's something that nobody can ever take away. You were there. You saw it. You felt it. You overcame it. You learned the hard way. You got the t-shirt. You have the scars to prove it. Y'all, bulletproof influence sometimes combines the concepts of not just personal conviction and well-studied thoughts or intentional preparation so you can message it. It also involves your personal story because that adds flavor to what you're saying. Yeah, so this, one more thing here, a couple more things. Bulletproof influence, it also comes from being selfless. Selfless. It's not about you. It's not about what you can get. People smell a faker a mile away. They can root out a charlatan. Real influence comes when people realize that they are being cared about in the process and that your position that you're offering is something that is as much to their own benefit as it is to yours. And lastly, I'll say this, bulletproof influence, though. To be really bulletproof in your influence, it's a position that's earned. It's something that you walk in. I mean, maybe you earned a promotion and you took a position and you're supposed to be influential automatically, but the reality is this. Generally speaking, real influence, bulletproof influence, is earned. You spend time. You've developed relationships. You've established yourself on the position or the topic. The audience is already looking to see what you want to say because no amount of negative naysaying can rock you. They know who you are, and you know them, and you're bulletproof. So yeah, bulletproof influence, it's a thing. It's about having a conviction. It's about being willing to square off to your opposition. It's about being a student of your own convictions. You study up and you're prepared to express those positions. It's about knowing your own personal story and being willing to share it. It's not about lording your views over others. It's about earning the right to share your views. So y'all, I'm just telling you, every one of y'all out there, find your passion point, find your calling, find that thing you care about. And within that, then develop your own bulletproof influence. What I'm saying applies to every one of us. We all have our own spheres, our own family, our Sunday schools, our office groups, whatever. Maybe just a few people. Maybe some of y'all have vast multitudes. You think about it. Do you think of yourself as having bulletproof influence? And if not, why not? So yeah, as we're going through the campaign season too, I'll just tell you, watch the politicians. When the negative ads start flying, do they start retaliating? Are they running and scrambling? Do they get angry and offended? Or do they shake it off, confront what's necessary, and walk in the courage of their convictions? Are they working with bulletproof influence? Those are the people worth following. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. Every once in a while, I got to wax philosophical. But, you know, I look at it right now. One of the things that we're seeing, like, for instance, with President Trump, is he has developed a bulletproof influence with his base. People expect certain things. They know certain things. And when he says them, they question, but they question from a position of not speculation, but just of developing the arguments with him. Listen, you can have it too on any given topic. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Yeah, text lines are indeed open. Some of y'all have already figured that out. And so I got to read you a few of these, see what we got here. Brand spanking new in the text lines. We're welcoming Heather from Ardmore. Heather, we're glad you're with us. Thanks for joining in. Brian from Huntsville, with regards to the monologue, says, bulletproof influence for me is in prayer to Jesus, admitting where I'm right and wrong. There you go. Well, you know your position at that point, don't you, brother? Frank from Huntsville says, thumbs up on your monologue. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. John from Huntsville. Did you see John? So John from Huntsville, he says, Phil, I don't know what happened yesterday. I remember you went on a break before the Grand Council. Somehow I fell asleep. I'm not sure that's good. We're going to say he fell asleep during the break, not during the show.
That's better. Yeah, during fell asleep break. During the break because it was boring.
The break was boring.
That's what I mean. The break was boring, not the show.
We didn't lull him into slumber, no. But he says, fell asleep before the Grand Council, and somehow I fell asleep. When I woke up, you were saying goodbye, so before anybody says anything, I went ahead and gave myself a C-. Oh, brother, listen, it happens. Glad you were able to get a cat nap. And then one more. Oh, so Brandy from Athens was texting in. We don't have a question or an answer for this. Boomer and I were talking before the segment. So I did, by the way, boom shakalaka, I signed up for my NCAA football pick'em.
I did see that.
I am in there.
Congratulations.
Thank
Good
you.
Job.
Did you examine my picks or just see that
no,
I did?
No, I can't see anybody's pick.
Oh, you can't?
No, I until...
Okay.
Until, like, game day. Like, until it's over, then you can see everybody's picks.
Well, I'll just tell you, I went ahead and changed it all. I said Auburn.
Was Auburn even on there?
No. No, but you know what? Brandy points out something, and I don't have an answer for this. Bama wasn't in there either, but they're in the top 25.
I don't know what they do for their picks. We selected it was top 25. Maybe they're just giving the other teams the first week the benefit of the doubt, and they're just putting them in there. So I don't know. My guess is
well, Bama's going to run away with it anyway. Let's put them in later.
I don't know what they're doing, but maybe it's just going to be a hodgepodge.
But
I'm thinking back.
I did it last night. I'm thinking back, and I think there were some games where like both teams were unranked. So I wonder if they're just giving us like a random sampling of games.
Maybe it's just the first week random sample.
It's a potpourri.
But I did select top 25, and then they give us this. I don't know.
Saw
maybe
that you
we're
did.
Just going for it.
This is not casting aspersions upon you. I still love the fact that you did this. I don't know what – I'm just going through and going, East Carolina, maybe, okay.
Yeah, I guess this team's going to win.
Let me go study East Carolina for a minute. No, never mind. They're going to lose. So, of course, they're playing Michigan. So, yeah, they're going to lose. That may have been, by the way, that may have been my pick for highest, lowest points.
So the question is, did you do any upset for this week?
Did I do any upsets? I did one. I looked at it and I went. I started looking at who was playing at home.
Yeah.
I know what it was. Florida State is playing
LSU. Yes.
And I picked Florida State because they're playing at home, even
they
though
are.
They're ranked eighth and LSU's fifth.
I have a feeling Florida State's.
You think?
I think so. I got a feeling.
Do I feel like I have bulletproof influence on that one?
Know.
No. No, I don't.
And plus, I'm not a fan of LSU. So.
Well, there's that.
There's that.
There's that. And, you know, it's
but
just one of those
again,
things.
But, again, if you haven't signed up, you still have time. You can go to www.rightsideradio.org, and it's on the right, top right-hand of your screen, and then click it. Gives you directions and a link to join, and you still got time to do it.
That's right. You do. Come on, join
McQueen
us.
Has joined.
McQueen has joined.
She has joined.
Has she picked yet?
She has made her picks.
Did she just look and see which team sounded the prettiest, or what?
Either the prettiest, or she looked up the uniforms. One of the two. To see which one she liked.
Oh, gee. Okay. All right. Listen, if you've not done it, Boomer's right. You got time, and I appreciate him doing this. So we've got go to rightsideradio.org. That's www.rightsideradio.org. And right there at the top of every page, really, I think.
Every page,
on the banner. Top of every page is a place where you can click that takes you to. And did you, by the way, are you the one that typed out the directions?
I typed out directions, yeah.
I was going to say I was impressed because I am moderately tech savvy. Once I learn it, I know it. Learning it's another story. And I stepped right through your process.
Yes. Good.
So basically what I'm saying is if Phil got it, anybody can get it.
There we go. Y'all heard it here.
And when it comes to downloading apps and using new technology, I am not bulletproof influential. at that point. I'm like, call Tech and just tell him I want to talk to somebody.
Just set it up for me.
Yes, and don't give me somebody from India who barely speaks English.
Man, isn't that the worst?
My God.
Can they put it like a slide down menu and just say, hey, I would like to speak with someone from the United States? Like, just because, I mean, and you can't understand them. That's the hard part.
Listen, man, and this has been years ago, but I literally got on the phone with one that was so bad, when the person gets on there and goes, yes, my name is Samuel. I just stopped and I said, your name is not Samuel. He goes, excuse me? I said, your name is not Samuel and you don't live here, do you? Well, I can help you. And I said, I'm done. And I hung up.
That's horrible.
Oh, my gosh. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, probably drawing the ire of many people in the audience right now. We will be right back. Hey, all you right side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. I saw the look on your face.
Did you?
I did. You turned off my mic.
I turned off your mic. I did. Muted. I just wanted to play a joke on you.
Oh, Lordy. All right. Hey, listen, we got plenty on tap for you. Don't forget, top of the hour here, 3 p.m., former state senator Dick Brubaker. We served together in the legislature. He's a great guy down in the Montgomery area. Is going to be on with us talking about school choice. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, I will tell you that we are going to start moving forward on that topic ourselves because Alabama is woefully behind. Woefully behind. I'm sorry. Do we have a Republican supermajority in Alabama? The answer would be yes, we do. A Republican supermajority. What does that mean? Well, so in the legislative process, you know, typically majority vote is required. Sometimes you're required to have a two-thirds vote depending upon what the issue is, like if it's a constitutional amendment or something like that. But when you've got a certain number of people, you know that you can get things done whether the other side wants to help or not. You have what's known as a supermajority at that point. You have not only the ability to pass simple majority votes, but you can also, by the way, break debate with cloture. You can get the two-thirds majority you need on certain things. I mean, in Alabama, we've got a supermajority in the House and the Senate. Unbreakable, unless we choose to be broken. Anything they want to do, they could do, unless they choose not to do it. That's where we've been with school choice. So I'll just rehash some things you've heard me say before, but in 2013, I believe it was, when I was a part of the Republican wave in the 2010 election, we came in and took the first Republican supermajority, actually it was the first Republican majority, period, in 136 straight years. Democrats had controlled the Alabama legislature for 136 straight years, and we flipped it in one night. Once that happened, we began doing things that had never been done. The first thing we had to do is we had to diminish the influence of the teachers' union, and we did, man. We went in there, and I'm talking about with a dull butter knife, we emasculated the teachers' union and just went at it, and it's what it took. Because then, after a couple of years, what we were able to do was, for the very first time, we broke into the area of school choice that Alabama had never had, never had. We passed a thing called the Alabama Accountability Act, and I've never understood why we named it what we did, but the reality is it provides an opportunity if you are in what is labeled a failing school, which this year, in a touchy-feely move to make people feel better about being failing schools, they gave it a different name. Now it's called distressed or something. I forget what. I'm sure there's a participation trophy in there somewhere. It's what Boomer was thinking. I can see your face. But the reality is this. We instituted something that gave the opportunity for kids who were confined by their zip code to a failing school to go do something else. Parents could say, you know what? My kid deserves better than what you're providing, and I want them to go down the road there to another school. Or even a private school. And they have to apply, though. It's a little bit cumbersome. It's all we could get. It's a little bit cumbersome. It's a scholarshiping process. And so we, as a state, set aside funds that can be used as tax credits to people who want to donate to an SGO, a scholarship-granting organization. And so these SGOs stood up. There were two or three that came about automatically. Some came from other states where they've already been operating. And they began to administer these immediate opportunities. So the way it works is this. You've got a kid in a failing school. You apply to, and I'll just call it the ABC SGO organization. you apply and say, I would like my son to move here. They're in this school. Here's why, and here's what it will cost. And the SGO's panel then reviews that and gives out scholarships. The scholarships came from people giving donations to the SGO. They're a 501c3. But the tax credit for doing that came out of the money we set aside in the legislature. And so we call that the Accountability Act Fund. And that fund has a cap on it. You can only give out X amount. And it's a one-for-one, a dollar-for-dollar credit. But we couldn't go past, at the time, $20 million. We've raised it since then to $30 million. All right, I hope I'm getting not too much in the weeds here, but the reality we've got is that we do have some school choice. We've also been able to, in the last few years, enhance the ability for Alabamians to see charter schools. Charter schools are actually public schools. Charter schools are actually public, just with a different charter. They've got kind of, you know, like rules and nuances and things about how they're going to focus on their, and they have to, by the way, they have to maintain their standards or they can lose their charter and revert back to standard schooling. Charter schools, though, even though they're technically public, they draw the ire of the teachers union nonetheless because they're just not part of the mainstream out there doing their own thing. Well, charter schools and the Accountability Act, that's what we've got. Meanwhile, around the nation, you've got amazing things happening. Arizona is now the gold standard. Arizona is leading the way. And you know that happened, by the way, before Democrat Governor Katie Hobbs got in. But nonetheless, we've got the gold standard in Arizona. But like six states this year alone have now passed major legislation to provide school choice. So here's the philosophical underpinnings for this. And this is, in my mind, how you frame it. If you believe that the best person to make a decision about what is good for your child is a school system, then you will never support school choice. But if you believe philosophically that the best person to make the decision about what is best for your child is you as the parent or guardian, then you are automatically in favor of school choice because you know that sometimes you have to make a choice away from what the public school system is providing. Here's the next piece. If you believe for a second that the taxes that we pay into the state through a variety of sources, if the taxes that we pay into the state for education are there to support the system, then you will never support school choice. But if you believe that those taxes are paid into the system to support the education of a child, then you are automatically more in favor of school choice because you recognize the dollars are for the kid. They're not for the system. They're for the kid. That's what I believe. I believe that parents and guardians should have the ultimate say in what is best for their child. And I believe that the taxes we pay in are not to support the bureaucratic system of education in the state, which is failing on a regular basis. I believe it's for the kid. It's for the education of a child. Okay, that being said, we've reached a new level. We're starting to see some things happening. The supermajority in the Alabama legislature has been woefully inadequate. Like, they've not even allowed some bills to even get a hearing. It's been awful to watch. By the way, 40% of Republicans in the Alabama legislature now take money from the teachers union for their campaigns. That used to be antithetical to common sense, much less good politics. And now we got so many of them that just forgotten the days of the fight, and they're taking money from the teachers union. Anyway, major legislation that has come up about school choice, which is being passed in other states, has not even been allowed to see the light of day in Alabama. But what they're seeing now is it's become a real issue. COVID has changed some people's perspectives. COVID has woken people up. Parents are now like, wait, what just happened? And then how many times have we seen the whole thing about parents going to speak to school boards and, you know, the foul stuff being found in the school libraries or the failing school status and why am I still stuck here and what? They have choice over there, but I don't have it here. And what's happening is parents are waking up. They are. And when the parents wake up, the legislators have no choice but to listen. And when the legislators begin to listen, they also recognize, you know what? Oh, man, politically speaking, this thing polls great. So for those who just follow the polls and stick their finger in the wind to say which way the wind blows, this is good for them. School choice polls great. And then on top of all that, you've got the fact that it's starting to get a little embarrassing for some who are in leadership right now. When you recognize that places like Arizona and Utah, Pennsylvania, Virginia are starting to see measurable school choice passed in their states, and we have a Republican supermajority that can't even get one out of committee. All right. We just recently heard Governor Kay Ivey, and I've got a piece here. I just pulled this one, believe it or not, off of the CatholicVote.org website. Alabama Republican Kay Ivey wants her state to become the most school choice friendly state in the nation. Thank you, Governor Ivey, for waking up to the issue. Joining the ranks of states passing legislation to give parents power to influence their children's education. And it goes on to say, though, it says, Ivey has not been very involved in legislative sessions recently, and it has not gone unnoticed. But in a most recent interview with our friend Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News, he has a show, actually, on public radio, or public TV, PBS, called Capital Journal. And on that Capital Journal, she said, he asked her about school choice, and she said, I want us to have lots of school choices, and we're working right now on a bill, an ESA bill, Education Savings Account bill, to present to the legislature in the next session. Wow. Caught everybody's attention. I will tell you this. Speaker of the House in Alabama, Nathaniel Ledbetter, who was in studio, 6 months ago, I guess. It's been a while. Alabama House Speaker Nathaniel Ledbetter said work is underway for state bills for school choice expansion, and that came out in yesterday's edition. Actually, it's today's edition of the Daily Mountain Eagle. He's from northeast Alabama, Jackson County, Fort Payne, Rainsville area, I believe. That'd be DeKalb. And the Daily Mountain Eagle is a local paper in the DeKalb area. So he said apparently in an interview in the last couple of days that he does believe that they are working right now on bills for school choice expansion. All right, we're going to break this down in more detail when we get back. I'll go ahead and take the break right now. When I come back, we're going to keep this discussion going. It's actually becoming an issue in the presidential campaigns. We'll talk about that. And then top of the hour, we'll conclude that topic with our friend, State Senator Duke Brubaker, his thoughts on school choice. He's got a child who had some special disability needs. And, you know, when you have special needs, sometimes you also need the opportunities to move around. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Making common sense like a superpower. All right, hey, so I'm talking about school choice, and let me go ahead and give props. I have been critical, and I think I've earned the right to be critical. I mean, quite a few of the legislators actually are personal friends of mine, and I served down there for 8 years. I think I've earned the right to say what I need to say, but the truth is I will also call balls and strikes, and when I see something right, I'll give them that. They did do a little bit of something this year on school choice, a little bit. Technically, it's a little embarrassing what they did in terms of its scope. But some is better than none, right? So I want to make sure that I point out that a couple things did happen this year. And AL.com even refers to them as tweaks. Okay. Don't ever try to claim substance, only to have the media say, and they made a few tweaks. That's where we are. Alabama lawmakers passed tweaks to the state school choice landscape during the 2023 session, but they turned down proposals for sweeping expansions. Yes, they did. There were two school choice bills that passed. One expanded the 10-year-old Alabama Accountability Act, the one I talked about a minute ago, and one did a remake of the 8-year-old Public Charter School Commission. So charter schools, by the way, charter schools, the way it works is, like I said, they have to apply for their charter, and the charter is awarded by the Public Charter School Commission. So there's a designated commission that reviews the applications, and there are some that get rejected. You know, they don't have a good enough financial plan. They don't have the facilities. They don't have a curriculum that meets the standards for the state, whatever. So they did something. Now was that super beneficial? Probably not going to change many kids' lives that they redid the Public Charter School Commission. The other one they did do, though, I do appreciate, and that was with regards to the Alabama Accountability Act, the idea that kids are stuck in a failing school or in some capacity relegated to a situation they shouldn't have to be in, because it's a little bit bigger now than just failing schools. The idea that they're stuck there is also now the opportunities are provided for kids who have physical disabilities. So the new law, the act that was passed, now allows students with disabilities, particularly those who have what's called an IEP, an individualized education program, to be eligible for tax credit scholarships to pay for tuition and fees. And students with IEPs can also use their scholarship proceeds to help pay for therapeutic services like speech and occupational therapy. So situation at hand, let's say your child goes to a school that is not fully equipped with what they need. Or maybe you've got a unique circumstance and you recognize that another school down the road has somebody who's better qualified to administer your child's IEP, maybe in a different school system altogether, or maybe a private school. And you're thinking, I need what's best for my child because their physical disabilities do not limit their ability to be educated. It just means they might need a specialized plan. And so this scholarship's now available. And that's good. I'm glad. There's like 80,000 students in the state of Alabama that have IEPs because they're handicapped in some capacity. But it says there's about 2,800 that are using those tax credit scholarships right now. So you see, 2,800, by the way, I'll say this, 2,800 students use the Accountability Act. I believe that we have roughly 67,000 K-12 students in the state of Alabama. I think that's right. I could be wrong. But I'll look back. I got the number here in one of my sources, but I believe the number is, when you think about it, is 2,800 is kind of paltry. Now, that's 2,800 we didn't have before. We'll take it. But what we need is the opportunity for people to have what's known as an ESA, an education savings account. An education savings account is where if the tax dollars are paid into the system and you believe they're best served to follow the child where the child needs to go, then what you do is you say, okay, parents, if you want to apply for this, then just tell us, and then we will set that money aside in your child's name. And that money will then be available to you for wherever it is you decide they should go. A true ESA is almost like a carte blanche. It's a scholarship to, if you're sitting in Birmingham and you want to go to school in Huntsville, doesn't matter, as long as you can handle the commute, you tell them you're going to do it, and they'll do it. That's an ESA. You're in maybe a failing public school in, say, Montgomery, of which there are quite a few. And you want your child to go to a private school down the road, and that's what it's for. It's limited. There's a capacity on it. And in Alabama's case, we had a bill that would have allowed up to $5,000 a year to be applied. And that can make a difference, folks. And if you had that available for everybody, I mean, we have a multi-billion dollar education budget. We're not going to crash the system. Not everybody's going to use it. But if you have 67,000 students and 17,000 decide they want to use it, it's still supposed to be there for them to do it. And it does not mean at all the schools will go away. What it means is the parents will have a choice. That's what matters. Now, the teachers union, they hate this idea. Why? Because it makes them have to be accountable. It makes them have to up their game. It makes them have to actually do something meaningful instead of just clamoring for another pay raise. All right, listen, we're going to come right back. My friend, former state senator Dick Brubaker, will be on the line with us. We'll keep this conversation going for a little bit longer. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Right Side Ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. We cover down on all the issues, and like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. All right, we're in the first of three dippers for the day, triple dipper. Number one is choosing choice. And we've been talking the last little bit here about the history of school choice in Alabama. We've talked about it on the show before. But there's been nuances and developments, and we've seen a little bit come out of our Republican supermajority, just a little bit here lately. But we now have the governor saying all of a sudden she's for it, and I'm glad. We now have the Speaker of the House saying he's for it, and he says a bill's being drafted. I'm glad. But I tell you, somebody who's been in the fight, and we were there together when the Accountability Act was passed, but my friend, former State Senator Dick Brubaker, Dick served in the Alabama State Senate representing the Montgomery-Prattville area, District 25. Before that, he was in the House of Representatives. Before that, he was actually an educator himself, been in the trenches, knows what it's like. He's also a successful businessman, and right now he's on the phone. So, Dick Brubaker, how you doing, man?
Hey, good afternoon. It's a beautiful day in Pike Road, Alabama, and what a great day to be on Right Side Radio.
Well, thank you for that, man. Hey, and thank you for your many years of service. And you actually chaired the Senate Education Committee, didn't you?
I did for 8 years, and one good thing about not being in politics anymore is I don't have to read all that stuff.
No doubt.
It was an interesting time, though. I certainly learned a lot.
Well, and you and I were both there. I've said several times that one of the most interesting, dynamic, and actually enjoyable evenings, in my opinion, was the night that we passed the Accountability Act, which, you know, it has its warts and blemishes, but it was the first time that we really got to smack around the teachers' union, and that was enjoyable.
Well, yes, that was enjoyable. And I hope our buddy Greg Reed is listening. It was a study in how people with a much smaller majority than they have right now crushed the opposition when they were in our way on something that was important to us.
Yeah.
And that's something that this group of senators needs to get out those old videos and watch, because apparently they've forgotten how to do it.
Well, you know, here's the thing, too, Dick. When you and I both were in the Senate, and now I think you and I left at the same time, I think like over half the legislature was not there during the teachers union fights, and about 40% of them are now taking teachers union money as part of their campaign donations. But I don't think they have the institutional knowledge of what it was like to be in that kind of fight.
Well, I tell you one thing: if they continue, I think the school choice is a great subject to be talking about, because if this is the kind of issue that they can't fool their Republican constituents forever.
Yeah.
If you are a conservative and you come back year after year failing to pass something that polls 80% or better among likely Republican voters and 90% or better among likely Republican voters with school-age children, eventually they're going to throw you out and put somebody in there who'll actually do what your constituents want.
Yeah, and totally, and rightfully so. And
well, absolutely rightfully so.
But let me ask you this, Dick. I mean, just in terms of our time together in Montgomery and the things that we were able to see happen, you know, I do think the fact that we finally broke that glass ceiling of school choice meant that this can be done. If they want to do it, they can. The only reason why it's not happening is because they just haven't chosen to have the will to do it at this point. Would you agree?
They've got that. Only a super majority. Now they've got a super duper majority. I mean, they can pass if they wanted to, and they were willing to filibuster and willing to close your filibusters and go to the mat and control the mic, especially since they have a good solid Republican lieutenant governor in the chair. They could have four senators not show up, Republican senators not show up, and still force passage if they wanted to.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why it's so inexcusable. That I mean, look what Arkansas is doing. Look at Florida. Look all around us. I mean, we're one of the few southern states dragging our feet on this issue. And we've got the worst schools of the bunch.
Well, and so in the mix of that, you know, one of the things that I'm hearing right now, Dick, maybe you've heard the same, is they are drafting a bill that would allow for education savings accounts, but they're talking about giving control to the state school board in the process. And I think that's going to wind up being a poison pill. What do you think?
It is a poison pill. And the state school board is a very unique organization that probably we should get rid of. If you look at who spends money on those campaigns, even though they have elected some Republicans, it is only teachers' organizations and superintendents' organizations and people selling textbooks that donate to those campaigns. And the state school board has opposed, and we had state school board members down in the committee rooms arguing against the Accountability Act.
Yep.
They argued against charter schools. They argued against virtual schools. Everything we did to try to give parents some choices in education, the school board, including some Republican school board members, came down and lobbied against because they wanted to protect the schools they govern, public schools.
Well, and if you look around the nation, the argument is always that we will break the backs or defund public education, and that doesn't happen. They assume that suddenly everybody in the world is going to execute their choice opportunities. The truth be told, it'll still be a minority, but it's the right thing to do because it's the parents who should have the final say.
Oh, and person, you know, it's nice not to – let me put it this way. We don't tax people for billions of dollars a year to protect institutions. We spend more money on education than any other function of state government,
yeah,
by far.
Yeah.
Nothing else is even close. And we do that to educate students, not protect institutions. And, you know, the number of people who have their own kids in private schools who object to making that choice available to people that don't have as much money as they do just always astonishes me. And who cares if some public schools disappear? If more kids are getting a better education, public schools in and of themselves are useless to society if they are failing their students. I mean, period.
Applause. I think you just hit the round of the applause that we gotta play. That was worth it. That was an epic moment. Hey, listen, too, Dick, I think there's another point that has to be said. It's sometimes it's always not about the education. It's also about the accommodations, the things that are provided for the student.
And, oh, wow, yep, amen.
And you were a successful businessman. You had opportunities you could apply to your kids, and you have great kids. And I remember Ben coming up there to the state house, and your son Ben has some physical disabilities. Not every parent had the ability to do the things you could do for Ben. And listen, if school choice is available, that